voice come from? And when we're here, okay? Hey. Did you enjoy talking to each other there just for a second? You weren't faking it? Good, because I'm telling you what. Jesus made all the difference for us. I was here on Friday. I know some of you weren't here. My name is John. Anybody remember who I am? Okay, good. I remember you too, okay? Listen, I gotta pick this story up, okay? I just got some minutes, but I want to tell you. Listen, if this story had ended when I left on Friday, hopeless. You got nothing to come and meet about. You got no reason to hug each other apart from comforting one another in your sorrow and in your hopelessness. But this is not what I heard just minutes ago. I heard laughter, huh? I saw patting on the back, a little bit of... I didn't see that, but I thought it'd be funny if it was, you know? But you've got a time to celebrate because it didn't end there. Listen, I keep going. So when Jesus finally, right, he bowed his head, he said, "It's finished." I stood there like, what is going on? With his mother, who believed that he was going to be king, right? From the very announcement of his birth. And she is just weeping uncontrollably. His aunt was with her. My mother was, there's a bunch of women. They're just crying their faces off. And I am right with them. We had no clue what was going on. And then, to make it worse, we saw the Roman guards come. Because the same leaders that wanted my Jesus crucified also wanted to speed things along because the holy day was coming. Anybody see anything wrong with this? And so these men are coming. Do you know what they're coming to do to the thieves, to the criminals? Break their legs. Do you know why they want to break their legs? To speed up the death. Because for crucifixion, the way that you actually die is suffocation. And when you try to get the breath, you have to push off the little platform with your legs, right? To get air. And so if they can break their legs, it'll speed up the death. Merciless, right? So they came, and the other two thieves, I told you about them, the ones that were truly worthy of crucifixion, they fought. Listen, they broke their legs. And I am just covering Mary's face because this is too much. You can't do more to my Jesus. But when they got to the Lord, what did they say? He's already gone. We don't need to break his legs. So one of them trained, took his sword, and what did he do? He pierced it into the side of my Lord, and when he pulled it out, what came out? Water and blood. Talk to a doctor, hey? This is proof that he's already dead. And so they can go on with their business, but we're not leaving. We're not leaving. This is my Jesus. As long as his body is on this cross, we are going nowhere else. And that's when, as we're sitting, just waiting, we don't know what to do. We can't get his body down. What do? We see two men coming. Do you know who Joseph of Arimathea is? Do you know who Nicodemus is? Yeah, did you know that they were a part of the council that met Thursday night when they took my Jesus? I saw them. They were a part of the rest of the council. And listen, these two men, they believed in Jesus. They did. Nicodemus even came to Jesus at night, talked to him, because he didn't want anybody else to see, right? He didn't want anybody to know that he was starting to listen and believe what Jesus is saying. So now they think it's time to come. My heart is pounding the closer they got. What are you going to do now? But so humbly they came. And they came right to Mary and I. And as they got closer, I could see genuine sorrow on their faces. And Joseph just said, "I'm so sorry. I did not go along with this." But he didn't stand up. This is what I'm thinking. And I just sat and listened, as Nicodemus as well. "We're so sorry. We have gone." Joseph said he went to Pilate and he asked permission to take the body down off the cross. Well, this is good. And you know, Mary says to these men, if you had have been here, and I'm thinking, what is she going to say? She said, if you had have been here, you would have heard my son say from the cross, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Well, this was not expected. But when she said that, something softened in my heart as well toward them. And they said, we've got to do this quickly. Do you know why they had to do this quickly? Because it's Friday, and when does Sabbath start? At sundown. This is like almost 4-ish, between 4 or 5 o'clock already. And so they said, please. Mary said, please. And so they took the ladders, the Roman centurion, he also believed, they put this ladder out, one on either side, and I watched as they climbed, and they pulled out the nails, the rope, and they took off, and his body just fell on the one side, and then they took off the other, and they carried him down, gently passing his body down, and Mary the whole time is just, be careful, you know? Now Nicodemus, he had the spices and the linen Joseph had brought, and so the women are like losing their minds watching this whole process go so fast. Men do not do this, right? Men, we don't do this. The women would typically, they do this so carefully. You would clean off the body of your loved one, and then you would wrap it in the linen and put the spices and wrap and more spices. Just so careful. But so quickly this had to be done, right? It's going to be sunset, and where are we going to lay him? And Joseph said, I have a tomb. It's so close. It would be my honor to lay him there. And Mary, with tears, said, thank you. So they took his body, Joseph and Nicodemus, one on either end, and they carried him, and we followed. And I'm telling you, have you ever buried a loved one? Isn't there a moment when they finally, you leave the graveside, is something just drops in your heart? We placed him quickly in the tomb, and then as they rolled that stone, you could see in, but as it closed, and finally, it was done. And Mary wanted to stay, so I stood with her for some minutes, but finally we just said, Mary, we've got to go. And the other women are talking. Do you know what they're saying? They want to hit home fast because they want to prepare the spices. They want to prepare everything that they need to come back on Sunday and do what? Do it properly. These ladies, they are going to have their way, right? And so we quickly, we went back to the place where we were staying, and that's exactly what they did. Those ladies got to work. They're fast, you know. The men were building the fire, lighting the candles, because when Sabbath starts, then nothing. And I don't know if you've ever had something weighing on your heart and on your mind. It's good to busy yourself sometimes, right? But we couldn't. All of Saturday, Friday, the sun set, and as soon as it did, those women stopped those preparations. That was as much as they could do. You did not cook, you could not clean, we could not build anything, you know? We couldn't even kindle a fire. We had to sit. And there was weeping you could hear, but nobody was saying a lot. Usually people would ask Peter what's going on. Why? Why would you ask Peter? Yeah, he's the oldest. And so normally we all look to him for answers. Peter, though? No, when he got to the house, something was wrong with him. He could barely talk. You could tell that he had been weeping. He could barely keep it together. I took him aside and I said, what is going on? And he said, Jonah, can talk about it. And so, listen. We spent that Sabbath not resting, but we weren't working. You can't rest when your soul is so troubled. Do you know what I mean? Your mind is racing. I got to take care of his mother. What am I going to do? We left everything to follow Jesus. Family, we left work. We came and gave everything. And this does not make sense, nothing. We went to sleep that night. Finally, you know, the fire dies and the candles go out, and then we're in darkness. And the next morning, we woke up because we heard. Do you ever try to get up in the morning without waking somebody else up? Do you ever try this? Are you successful? The women weren't, okay? I heard one of them stirring more, and they're trying to whisper, but they're dropping things, you know, and they're getting their spices together, and it's not even, sun's not even up yet, you know what I mean, on Sunday. But they're going. Have you ever tried to fall back asleep after somebody woke you up? Not so much luck, right? Especially when you finally wake up, and then all of that hits you again. I'm not going back to sleep. And then I realized it's cold too. So I got up and I went outside, and I know Peter was already out there. I don't even know if he slept. But he had started the fire, and so the two of us, we sat around the fire. Do you just sit and don't say anything? Do you have friends like this? You don't have to. And we sat and we just looked at this fire as the sun started to come up. And then we see this woman. She is running like a crazy lady. As fast as she can. Have you heard of Mary Magdalene? Do you know how she first met Jesus? He cast out the demons from her. We weren't too sure that it had happened again. You know what I mean? She is like ripping into the space. As fast as she can. The other ladies are older. They're like kind of, you know, speed walking a little bit, you know. But she comes back and we're like, what's going on? And she goes, he's alive. He's not there. I say, what are you talking about? He is risen. He's not there. The angel. And she's just, read the book, okay? She starts telling us everything. And the other disciples are coming out because they're hearing, you know, this commotion. And they, lots of them, now, you know, grief sometimes can do this to you. No. But Peter, do you know what he did? Man, he is up and running. And I was right behind him. And I actually outrun him because I'm fast. But I got there. We ran straight to where the tomb was. And when I got there, it was exactly like she said. The stone was not in front of the tomb anymore. And you could look in and I could see the linen cloth that they had wrapped him in there. And I'm standing there shell-shocked. And then Peter, whoosh, you know, he's coming right past me. He runs right in. And I'm like, well, I'm going too. You know, so we went in and you could see the cloth where his face is folded perfectly sitting there. And the other linen. Like, what is going on? But I, right, listen. In my heart, I knew, he's alive. He is alive. And now Mary had said with some different things, and she had said he'll meet you in Galilee and do this. And so Peter left. I went back to the house. Mary's, you know, there. So I've got to go back to the house, you know, I'm taking care of her. And so we're back and trying to figure out what's going on. And I'm telling you, things went fast. Now, because we get back and the disciples are like, what did you see? And I'm telling them, no, it's exactly what they said. The tomb is around. And as we're talking through some of these things, hey, listen. Two men, two of our guys, Cleopas and another disciple, they come busting through the door. Guys, we saw him. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, no, we saw him. We're like, you took off to go back to Emmaus, back home, you know? They're like, this is hopeless. We got nothing. We're going home. So now they come running back to Jerusalem and say, no, as we're walking, he appeared to us. In my heart, do you know who I want to see more than anything in life? I want to see my Jesus. I want to see him. So they start telling us that he walked with them on the road, but they didn't even recognize him. Have you read the story? Read it. Luke wrote it. It's absolutely hysterical, okay? He didn't even let them know that it was him as they're walking. And then they said, and then he started to explain all the scripture to us. I'm like, you went to school for that, dummy? What do you mean? They're like, no. The Torah, the scriptures are, huh? So they started to explain everything about himself in it. I got a question for you. How many times does the name Jesus, Yeshua, show up in your Old Testament? Huh? How many times do you think? How many? Thank you so much. And so I'm listening to these guys and I'm thinking, you're crazy. Jesus showed up and started telling you about all of himself in the Old Torah, in this Old Testament. No, what are you talking about? And so as they're trying to say this, and they're like, do you ever get excited and you're just like, I'm kind of doing this now, right? You know, just coming, and we're trying to listen to them. And then Mary comes running in. Mary Magdalene. She had stayed at the tomb after we left. And she said that while she's there, she thought it was the gardener, right? Read the story. And she's got so many tears, she turns, she says to him, where have you laid him? And then he said her name. And she said, my heart began to pound because I knew that voice. And she looked and it was him. What? Now you got to see him too? When is it my turn? And do you know one of the things? She said, this is what he told me to tell you. That he had to go ascend to his father and your father. He was going to his God and to your God. I wish I could go into how important this was. Jesus talks so much about the Father. His relationship with his Father was the one that you just were in awe of. And he says to Mary, you go and tell them that I'm going to my Father and to your Father. To my God and to your God, because he made the way. Do you understand? Do you understand? No, you don't fully understand. You'd be giddy if you did. Okay, but listen. So she's telling us this, and then as she's telling us that, you know who else comes in? Peter. Peter comes in and he looks different now. Huh? His sorrow is a little different. And his eyes are big and he says, the Lord appeared to me. What? Where did you even go? And why did you leave so quick? Oh, friends. He told us what happened that night. Did you know what happened that night? When he denied the Lord how many times? 3 times. And did you know? I mean, he was at Caiaphas' house with me. I just didn't know when he left. But he left after he denied him the 3rd time. And do you know who he locked eyes with? With the Lord. He said, John, I looked him straight in the face as I have denied him. And I heard the rooster crow. And I just had to leave. There's nothing more horrible than this. And I did it to my Lord. And my heart's breaking just listening to him, you know? And so he said, when I saw that empty tomb and I knew that he was alive, John, all I could think was, how do I face him? I said, so where did you go? And he said, I ran back to the last place I had been with him in the garden, where he cried out to his father. And I cried out to God and I just fell apart in that garden. And then, you know, as he said he was weeping in that garden, he felt a hand on his back. And he turned and looked. And there was the Lord. He said, what did he say? He goes, it doesn't matter. What did he do? He said, he let me cry with him. But he forgave me. Ah, when do I get to see him? Ah, my Jesus, you know? And as these other two, they kick back in over Peter. They're like, we've got to keep telling you about the scriptures and him in them. And I'm like, I don't get it. Boom. I'm telling you. The Lord appeared right there. And he said, does anyone know what he said? He said, peace to you. Do you know why he said this? Because we're freaking out. I mean, the door is locked because we are afraid of the Jewish leaders coming for us now. We know what they did to Jesus. And these people, you know, and so we are together, and now here he is, and he goes, peace to you. And I'm like, what? And he says, why are you so afraid, guys? Look, look at my hands. Look at my feet. And we are, but nobody's saying anything. And he goes, come and touch this. It's me. Don't be afraid. And then he goes, listen, does a ghost, does a spirit? That's what we thought looking at him, you know? He goes, does a spirit have flesh and bone? And I'm thinking, no. But what? And he goes, dude, he's funny. Do you have anything to eat? And Andrew's like, I got some fish. Okay. He goes, he gets one of the broiled fish. He brings it over, and the Lord says, give this to me. He takes it, and he starts to eat. What? And he's got that smile on his face and the look in his eye. And he said, guys, this is what was supposed to happen. What? No, no, no. You were supposed to be king, coming in, seated on your throne. What do you mean this was supposed to happen? And listen, so that we could understand, he actually breathed on us and gave us the Holy Spirit so that we could understand what he was saying. And can I just tell you right now, if you don't understand anything I'm saying right now, or you read that book and you're like, what? You need the Spirit of God to understand these things. You need him. He is our power. He gives us the Holy Spirit in these moments. And then, anybody got the book? Can I borrow your book for 1 second? I'll give it back, I promise, okay? He takes, we don't have a book like this. And we don't even have the scroll in front of us. But this is what he started doing. And it blew my mind. He starts talking to us about the law of Moses. What books did Moshe write? Help me. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, what? Deuteronomy. And so. But he wrote these books. He starts explaining to us. Are you ready? Jesus. How it was always, always about him. It's all a picture of him. And he says, guys, this had to happen this way for the forgiveness of sins. And then he starts talking about the prophets. Huh? You read the prophets? Not lately? Do it! Everything that's written about the Messiah, the Christ, is who? It's Jesus. He starts explaining these things to us, and even in the Psalms, he starts to explain. And he says, do you remember when I was on the cross and I said, my God, what did he say? Why have you forsaken me? Listen, we didn't get it at the cross, but when he said it this time and we have the Spirit of God, he says, do you remember that psalm, the song? Do you remember that one? Which one is it? 22 is a victory psalm. Reminding us of the faithfulness of God. Oh, friends. Thank you so much, sister. On a picture. He starts telling us about, I'm thinking about, Abraham. You know Abraham? What did God ask him to do with his son? Sacrifice him. What's his son's name? What's his name? Isaac. You, little ones. Do you know this story? Do you know this story of Abraham and Isaac? You got to read this one. You promise me, pinky swear, you read it later. Do it. Everybody witness, okay? You open up the book, you read it later. Guys, if you've read it, what did he do? Abraham took his son Isaac. Who carried the wood on his back? The son Isaac. They went up that mount. Do you know that it's the same mountain that my Jesus, the Son of God, was sacrificed on? Do you remember what Abraham said to his son when Isaac asked him, where is the offering? God will provide what? A lamb. A lamb. What did God provide in the story with Abraham? A ram. Was it a mistake? No. We know these stories. We tradition. We tell these stories to our children. And the first time we're like, stop it immediately. It's a picture of Jesus. Then he takes us through all of these. This was one of my favorites with Moshe. Do you know this story of Moses and Egypt? Yeah? Then you remember they led them out of Egypt? Do you remember anything about the plagues? You remember? You're like, don't look at me. Okay. Yeah. What was the last plague? Somebody a little older, tell me, what was it? Yes, the angel of death. And what did God tell Moshe to tell the people to do? Take a what? Perfect, spotless, blemishless lamb. And what did they do to the lamb? They sacrificed the lamb. And what did they do with the blood? Is anybody else freaking out with me? They took the blood, they put it on this side of the door, and this side of the door, and over the top. And then what were they told to do? Go where? You go through that door for safety, for deliverance from the angel of death that would come. Excuse me? Read the book I wrote. It's got my name. Do you know that my Jesus, as he talked about himself as the lamb, the shepherd, the good shepherd, he said, I am the what? He said, I am the door. Oh my goodness. Everything is clicking. I'm picturing my Jesus on the cross, the door with the blood. And he says, by me, anyone who enters in will be what? Saved. He says, I am the way, the way. No more ways than one. The only way that we were saved from that plague was through that way. You ask the Egyptians about that, they'll tell you the truth. One way. And my Lord said to us, even as we were going to the garden that night, I am the way, the way, the truth, and the life. No one what? No one comes to the Father except by who? By me. Oh. And guys, I love that this is here. Because I gotta go. But I'll tell you, Do you know that when he met with those two disciples, Cleopas and the other one, when they were walking to Emmaus, and he's telling them all of these things, they still didn't know that it was Jesus. It's comical. They're making all of these connections, and they still didn't know it was Jesus telling them all these things. And so when they got to the house, Jesus just like acted like he was going to keep going. And they're like, no, please stay. Please stay, don't go. And so Jesus said, okay, I'll stay. And he reclined around the table with them, kept telling them things, but then listen to this moment. He took the bread. They still don't know it's Jesus. He broke it as they're sitting at the table. And as he broke it, their eyes, they recognized who it really was. Because what had he done at the dinner before the cross? He broke that bread, and what did he say to us? He said, this is my what? This is my body, broken for you. And as he did that, the sparkle in his eye, the smirk on his face, gone. And you better believe it, that's why they came tearing it up back to Jerusalem. Said, it's him. It's him. It's all about him. And this is the thing that Jesus said to us, and I want to say to you. This is why this is so important. Because this is the picture. This is the picture of his body, of his blood. This was the only way for us to be back in relationship. No more lambs are to be slaughtered. No more sacrifices. This was it. My Jesus fulfilled it all. And he said to us, guys, you've got to go and share this message. You've got to go and tell people this. Ready? Repentance and forgiveness is not found through the law anymore. I fulfilled the law. It's only through the name of Jesus, my name. So you start in Jerusalem and you get busy telling people, this is why I came. You can be in relationship with the Father because of the Son. And we can be brothers and sisters. So if you're preaching forgiveness, let's demonstrate it. Live it out in front of these people that need us so bad, right? So friends, I think that you get to do this. And I hope that you're excited. Because he loves when we do this. He loves when we do this. Friends, thank you. Thank you for letting me share this bit. It keeps going. Read the book, okay? But I love you, and we'll talk to you later, okay? Okay.